Alice.
Yeah, Don?
What's the word?
Hazard.
Hazard?
After so many years of being a hazard, a public nuisance at best, I feel obligated to do something positive.
Where'd you hear that?
I heard it through the grapevine.
Welcome. It's the AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour featuring the collected voices of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm Don, an alcoholic in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I'm Alice, an alcoholic in transition.
You're still in transition?
You know, Don, what is happening right now is God's will if you've done the footwork. And I've not found a house yet. When it's time for me to find a house, I'll have a house. So yes, I am still in transition.
So this isn't a geographic.
No, this isn't.
To escape yourself.
This is a anchoring. I'm finally anchoring myself. I've been a bounce around person. I'm born and raised in New York and I moved to Oakland. You know, I'm a bounce around, but I am finally buying the house that I hope is my last house.
Well, that sounds good. Are you going to meetings still? And what has anything happened in your AA life recently?
Last weekend, I was in Central Florida for a women's AA conference. And I'm reminded again of how much regionally Alcoholics Anonymous does vary, even though it is exactly the same everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But there are also these really significant differences. The way that I think about Alcoholics Anonymous, the way that I talk about the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the way that I attach the literature to my lived experience is different. They were like, wow. In some ways, it really varies from place to place. And I certainly go places, you know, now I'm in the Atlanta area, and the recovery here is a little bit different, the way that approach things.
Wait a minute. What was different? They go, wow. What were they responding to?
You know, I don't see Alcoholics Anonymous as an adjunct to my life. I'm not living my best life, and then I have AA over here.
Right.
Literally, Alcoholics Anonymous and the principles in Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. Like the adjunct to my life is, you know, a vacation or shopping or, you know what I mean? Like relationships are in some ways the things I do extra.
Yeah.
Basis of my life is how do I practice these principles? How am I kind, patient? And some people may see that as a little extreme or severe that, you know, I just want to stop drinking.
Oh, yeah.
And to realize this isn't even a stop drinking program, right? This is a live right program. That can be a wow for people.
We had a newcomer at the men's meeting that I went to this morning. That was kind of the point of the whole meeting. It's like what we ultimately do in AA is live our lives in such a way that it doesn't come to us to want to drink to get out of it. We do something else so that we don't get into the position. I don't want to get into the position where I desperately need a drink due to my mismanagement of my emotions and
you know, one of the things
and what people do to me. And
right, exactly. One of the things I think is hilarious, you know, one of the aha moments I think that happened over the weekend is I drank to deal with the problems that drinking caused. And then I'm in this cycle.
It's worse and worse.
You know,
digging the hole.
In the hole, right? And I say, I do the things I don't want to do in order to have the life I want to have. You know, people that know me know my favorite number of sponsees is zero. Like I want to lay on the couch and watch Netflix, but that doesn't give me the life I want to have. So I do these things like I'm a joy maker. I'm a service provider. I'm a helping hand, not because I want to. Sometimes I want to, usually I don't, but because it's the right thing to do and living right, man, it makes me happy.
Yeah, it's way easier than digging that hole.
Yeah.
Alice, who's our guest today?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. We have Jimmy D. His experience in Alcoholics Anonymous is rich and varied.
That's right. And later on, we'll have a history plus question.
History plus.
Which is, why do we count June 10th, 1935 as the starting date of AA?
Yeah.
We're going to get Jimmy in on that one, too, right after this.
What are the Grapevine's most popular books? Emotional Sobriety 1 and 2. Both are filled with experiences by sober AA members, many with long-term sobriety, about the positive transformations we can achieve by practicing the principles of the program in all aspects of our lives. The stories show how the rewards are serenity, emotional balance, and an increased joy for living. Visit aagrapevine.org/books.
Hey everybody, my name's Jimmy. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. I've been sober since August the 25th of 1997. We give dates down here. An old timer, when I got sober, said, if you don't give a date before you start talking, by the time they hear the first 10 minutes, they may not think that you have a date. That's my date.
I believe in it too. What was going on, Jimmy, August 25th, 1997, that caused you to go to an AA meeting?
Well, I didn't go to an AA meeting on 25th. I had some exposure to what I consider to be stellar AA starting Memorial Day, so end of May. The Dallas County court system helped introduce me to Alcoholics Anonymous. Second DWI, which I treated casually, and they did not. Dallas County really wanted me to get sober.
Or quit driving.
a combination of all of those things. It was a package deal, but I had a sponsor, a good sponsor. In fact, he became my sponsor my first 2.5 years of continuous sobriety. And I was receiving direction, really no different than the direction that I receive today. And I was exposed to a lot of really solid three legacy AA members, but I could not get out of the rut. And on the 24th of August, which may be the most important, at the tail end of a half gallon of vodka, I decided that those people knew how to live one day at a time. And that was not a decision that I made. I believe it was influenced. Thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness.
So how did you get to an AA meeting?
Well, I had been around Alcoholics Anonymous. And I understand that, you know, talking about a meeting of AA, but I can tell you that it's not been my experience to conflate a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous with being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. No offense or slight to the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, but my experience taught me then, I was in a lot of really, I was in three committed AA meetings a week all through the summer of 1997. I was in a book study, the showcase meeting. We called it the open speaker meeting. I heard a lot of stellar people from my part of the world talk about what they were like and what happened and what they were like today. But, I wouldn't go to dinner, and I wouldn't make a call to my sponsor at 7:30 every morning. And I wouldn't call two other men in the group every day to ask them how their day was. And I can tell you that I believe those were foundational components of this way of life. Isn't it interesting? Those were the things for me that were going to any lengths.
Yeah, the social things.
Well, in the meeting after the meeting, eyeball to eyeball, a guy will tell you stuff that he'll never share from behind an AA podium.
Yeah. I really appreciate you making the distinction between a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think I heard you say that the action you take or don't take distinguishes whether or not you're in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Your sponsors asked you to do some things, you're unwilling to do them, you're just going to meetings. That doesn't make you a member of the program.
Right. There's a vast difference between going to AA and being in AA.
Yes.
Jimmy, can you give a personal example in your beginning sobriety where you decided to do one of these things that you didn't want to do to get into AA, then you did it and got the results?
I began to say yes to things that my sponsor and other people suggested that I do. That could be, taking a commitment in my home group. It could be, my first 6 or 7 months of sobriety. I lived in central Dallas, and there were two guys that were new in the program. We were kind of like the class of 97 guys. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I didn't like either one of those guys at all. And they didn't have car or license. Now, I didn't have a license when I got sober, but my sponsor helped me clean that up quick. And so I would drive to Grand Prairie, which is about 30 miles one way, and pick those guys up twice a week, Monday and Thursday, and loop them back to North Dallas. The round trip was probably 100 miles.
Wow.
In traffic. And my sponsor, you know, I would commiserate, not weekly, but almost weekly. And I'd say, I hate those guys. I hate those guys. And about month two, my sponsor was tired of listening. So he said, you know what the problem is? And I said, yeah, they're just jerks. And he said, no, y'all aren't spending enough time together. So he found he found a newcomer meeting in Plano, Texas. You know, it wasn't close to anybody. And on Friday nights at 8 o'clock, we went to a newcomer meeting in Plano, and I picked him up for that. And I have to tell you, the magic of Alcoholics Anonymous, the windshield time, changed my perception.
Yep.
Now, neither one of those two guys, maybe one got 5, 6 years in the program. I haven't seen them in years and years, but they're in my prayers daily.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you that the conversations we had in the car were very spiritual, but we got through early sobriety together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I hear you say, like, look, I came in May, right? But my sobriety date is 3 months later. That 3 months is maybe being defiant or resistant or just not wanting to do the things that are asked. Is that what that three months is?
Absolutely. And interestingly enough, only in hindsight did I realize I drank every day but Thursday. So Thursday night was a closed book study, and we met in a church in North Dallas. The first time I ever engaged with members of that home group, they gave me a commitment. I put the steps and traditions out in the room where we met, and I put signs in the yard of the church to let people know that AA met inside. And the conscience of that group, not surprisingly, was if you lost your sobriety, you lost your commitment, right? And they believed that the common welfare came first. So every Thursday, I'd show up 30, 45 minutes before the meeting sober that day. And they would relieve me of the commitment. They'd say, Jimmy, you've lost your sobriety in the past week. We have to take your commitment. And then they turn right around and they give the commitment back. Because my sponsor was talking to his fellow home group members about me, and he said, I don't understand it, but the only sober breath he draws is when he comes on Thursday to put out these signs. They encouraged me. It was probably the most impactful job I've ever had in AA, and it was before I actually got sober.
Wow. Yeah.
I want you to say more about the most impactful job I had in Alcoholics Anonymous is when I'm struggling not to drink just so that I can put signs out in the yard and put the traditions and the steps out.
My home group is once a week, about 100, 125 people. It's a huge meeting for Dallas. And, you know, there are 70 or 75 commitments in that meeting.
What are the jobs? What kind of jobs? That's a lot of commitments.
Well, you expand the commitments if the group grows, right? So we've probably got 4 different people that are in charge of various stages of the butt cans. Your butt cans out. Alice is kitty litter and filter the butt cans. I'm butt cans in. Somebody else is once a week or once every couple of weeks. Clean the butt cans. I mean, the setup crew to put the chairs out. I watch them every Wednesday night, right? Because I make coffee. I open up the building. I'm there at 5:30 for a 7 o'clock meeting.
That's right.
And I watch these people engage with one another. There's more power in that than there is when we've got a speaker behind the lectern sharing experience, strength, and hope.
The sense of belonging, the sense of absolutely. I'm a part of, you know, Jimmy, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say that the highest level that you'll ever achieve is servant. You know, the triangle in Alcoholics Anonymous is upside down, right? The further, quote unquote, up the food chain you get, the lower on the totem pole you are in Alcoholics Anonymous. So you're talking about being a newcomer, putting the steps and traditions out, putting the signs out. People may not know. Tell them the lowest position you've had in Alcoholics Anonymous.
I was a member of the General Service Board as trustee. So I think as far as U.S. Canada, that's the lowest level. I chaired the Intergroup Board in Dallas. a delegate in general service here, you know, the further down you float, you know, you feel the weight of the fellowship.
Yep.
It's by design that it's upside down.
Describe the upside down triangle, because a lot of people, it took me years before I really understood. What is this?
Yeah, I think we have members today, not because of any other reason than just not knowing, are not aware that when they claimed membership in Alcoholics Anonymous, they were at the top of the mountain, right? They were the highest element on the food chain that is AA. And then when they went to the bathroom and they got elected the GSR, they moved down.
They moved down.
Right?
Yes.
And at first blush, they say, oh my gosh, district meeting, area meeting, blah, blah, blah. And if they have effective sponsorship and they have home group members around them that really trust their trusted servant, they say, like my sponsor said to me when I read chapter 5, he looked me in the eyes and he said, oh my gosh, what an honor to serve your group. What an honor to serve your group. Yeah. And he was as excited about that as he had ever been about anything at all. And it just permeated my being,
mm-hmm.
right? My sense of self-worth to actually begin to give back something to what I knew was saving my life one day at a time was so impactful.
So that's the groups. The membership?
The groups at the top of the food chain and in the general service structure was to make sure that the AA groups were in charge of AA. So when we elect these people that I would say exercise some vision and help to provide tools to the group, that's their reason for being. So the purpose of the district meeting is for me to find out what's going on in Don's group about public information or CPC, or maybe you've got a treatment center, quote unquote, a kit in a bucket. And so when we take the meeting to the detox, we just come by and pick up the kit, and the kit's got everything we need in it in order to, you know, take that meeting. And we move further and further down the chain, special workers, the AA members that work for AA, and the three boards, they're at the tip, the point of the triangle.
Tell us what the three boards are.
Well, we have the general service board, the custodian of AA tradition, because obviously the groups in and of themselves, they can't execute these ideas, you know, a piece of material that we would use to assist in our 12-step work. So we have the General Service Board, 21 trustees. Those trustees, they really own, right? But we don't like ownership as a word in AA, and I get that. But they own these two operating corporations. AA World Services, which is the publisher of all of our conference-approved literature and also is the General Service Office in New York, and then the AA Grapevine, which is obviously involved in this effort that we're engaged in today and many, many other things, Grapevine Magazine, Lavinia, other recovery literature that's produced and approved by the conference. It's a three-corporation structure in Alcoholics.
Okay, thanks, Jimmy. So I can just feel some people listening going, what in the world does this have to do with me getting sober? Can you give an example of something that during your tenure as trustee that affected someone personally?
When we were at the General Service Conference 2022, it's the annual meeting of AA.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gathered together for 7-8 days in New York. Delegates from each one of the areas, right? So you've got AA members that are serving their geographic areas. You've got those 21 trustees. You've got those directors on those two boards. So you've got all this legalese mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put out this literature display. GSO did it. It's beautiful, but it's big books and As Bill Sees It, 12 and 12, and lots of Grapevine material. And we had somebody come off the street and actually wander back there.
Wow.
And another trustee came to me about an hour later and said, that woman stole that book.
Hallelujah.
And I said, thank God we're doing something to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers, right? Now, that may seem a little bit abstract, but I can tell you that really brings it all into perspective. The structure does not do 12-step work.
That's right.
But it's there to make better 12-step work possible.
That's right. One of the things about my membership in Alcoholics Anonymous is I want to live in a way that people who will never know who I am benefit from me having lived, right? That might mean that I'm sponsoring somebody that later on sponsors somebody that saves it, like whatever it means, right? I'm just trying to give. There's this service structure. It doesn't do the life-saving work directly, but it makes it possible. I'm creating the space for the work that is life-saving to happen. I'm not doing the life-saving work directly, unless I'm lucky and somebody comes in and steals a book, right? Like, I just want to say thank you for all of the work that you've done over the years. A special thanks for being the coffee maker now.
Well, and which is the greatest job ever. And, you know, it's interesting. I learned that from being part of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor said, we're going to weave you into the fabric of AA.
Yes.
And I had no idea what that meant. I would have been a very poor trusted servant at that whale doo-doo in the ocean position had I not been a guy who made coffee at my home group or cleaned the butt cans, right? And I never wanted to do any of that. I just wanted to not drink.
You were dragged into the community of AA and then discovered that it's the community that's actually keeping us sober. That's how I'm not drinking, is by making sure the community's here. And we got an Ask It Basket question that deals with this.
It's time for the Ask It Basket.
What's that?
That's the name Bill W. gave the basket that was passed around for questions. We want your questions for our guests.
General recovery questions, newcomer questions, AA history.
Got a question for the Ask It Basket? Go to aagrapevine.org and click on podcast.
And now let's dip into the basket.
We received this voicemail from an anonymous listener with an interesting question. Let's listen.
I wanted to ask a question for the Ask It Basket. How come they start the beginning of AA with Dr. Bob's sobriety? I was wondering why they don't use the beginning of AA when Bill W. got sober, when Ebby came to see him, and why they use Dr. Bob's sobriety at the beginning of AA.
Good question.
It's such a great question. You know, when you come in and you are told what the anniversary date is for Alcoholics Anonymous, and then you find out, but wait a minute, Bill's already sober. Ebby already got Bill sober. Like, why aren't we counting Bill's sobriety date? Right? Why are we counting Dr. Bob's sobriety date? There are even people that will argue that when you look up the train schedule in the American Medical Association date, that June 10th isn't the date. I mean, why are we bickering
about
going
down the, right? You're going down the rabbit hole.
Right. But the truth is that, that spiritually, which is what we are in, right? We're in this spiritual program. Ebby didn't stay sober. Bob stayed sober. And Bob and Bill started the first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in Akron, Ohio. We didn't know it was AA then. And so the beginning of AA isn't just about sober. It's about the beginning of a network of people that are getting sober. That's my best shot at it. Come on, Jimmy.
Well, it's my understanding that certainly Ebby's message carried to Bill at the kitchen table was the Oxford group message, which we're following first century Christianity.
Yes.
And Ebby was witnessing to Bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that, and I may be wrong, I'm not an archivist slash historian, but if Ebby was ever a member of AA, not for any length of time that I ever knew, right? And I don't know all the ins and outs of that. And again, that's kind of like the June 10th Atlantic City controversy. I don't want to touch any of that. But, you know, Oxford was unhappy with Bill.
Very much.
Because Bill was putting a spin on their message. He was customizing it to fit people like me and Don and Alice. Drunks in their cups, not knowing how to get by, not knowing how to get any better. So when he met with Bob, by the way, Bob didn't want to do that, right?
So maybe Bob didn't want to.
Maybe the first example of where we, you know, we surrendered to some external pressure, right? but that was the first time that the message was successfully carried. And it was in its infancy, but it was the root and branch, the AA message, which said, if you surrender to a power greater than yourself, whatever that power is, whatever that is, but if you surrender to that power, that power is going to help you along the way do what you need to do one day at a time to stay sober
Yeah, I look at it like that date is the beginning of AA, because that's one alcoholic carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous to another alcoholic. And it is the two of them that is Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not one person. It's not the first person who got sober, whatever message. It's when the community began, which is what we've been talking about the whole time.
That's
it's
right.
The community of AA. And the community began with Bill and Bob.
And note that the identification and the camaraderie, and Bob says in his story in squiggly writing, which means it must be important, that he knew that Bill knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
There was no formality of any AA meeting of any kind involved in any of that.
That's right.
It was person-to-person service. Bill did it for self-preservation, no question.
As each of us does.
Absolutely, we do. You know, we went off on that general service hodgepodge, right? We like stuff in AA that's really sexy stuff, right? We like the detox where people are drooling all over themselves and their Thorazine out and all that stuff, right?
You have a different idea of what's sexy than I do, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I use that word to say that the difference between that is I've learned patience, mm-hmm. and that a tool that's created today, it may not see any successful carrying of the message for 10 years, 15 years,
that's
20
right.
years. We have no idea, right?
Right.
But it does become a piece of the collective experience of AA. And that's all we're doing here. We're just talking about our experience.
Thank you for calling in with that question. We really appreciate it.
You know, one of the things I love, and maybe we can post this on Instagram, is the prescription that Dr. Bob wrote, which is, I think, a beautiful summary of Alcoholics Anonymous, the whole deal, right? It's just three things. It's trust God, clean house, help others. And there is a beautiful prescription that Dr. Bob wrote, which you'll be able to see on Instagram.
It's written on one of his prescription pads.
Absolutely.
Jimmy, this has been great. Thanks for being here today. It's a pleasure to meet you.
It's lovely to have met you at the bottom of the food chain. And it's lovely to see you've moved up to Coffee Maker.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Grapevine strives to be self-supporting.
Please subscribe to the magazine or app and visit the Grapevine online store.
The app is free in your phone's app store and has great content and features provided at no cost to you.
But if you subscribe, you get so much more. And you support all things Grapevine, including this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Only $2.99 a month.
This Wits End, submitted by J.D. from Big Lake, Minnesota.
A newcomer had it drilled into her by her sponsor that she had to be absolutely honest in everything she did. She took this to heart when she went to a job interview.
Your application looks good. Now, what would you say is your biggest character defect?
My honesty.
Well, I don't think honesty is a problem.
I don't give a damn what you think.
It's really not that funny.
Thanks for joining us. The AA Grapevine Half Hour Variety Hour is posted every Monday and is produced by AA Grapevine, Inc. We don't speak for AA as a whole. We share the experience, strength, and hope of members to help others recover from alcoholism. Podcast info, including how to call in, is at aagrapevine.org/podcast. Search AA Grapevine in the App Store on your phone or find AA Grapevine on Instagram and YouTube. All things Grapevine are available at aagrapevine.org. If you want to know more about AA, search online for Alcoholics Anonymous in your city or visit aa.org.
That was freaking amazing.